Welcome to the Well One Connection, a podcast from Huron Regional Medical Center. The right care is right here.
Welcome to part two of a two-part series of the Well One podcast with Earl Heinricher, Director of Pharmacy at HRMC and Registered Pharmacist. In this second part of the podcast, we will discuss different vaccines that adults can get in the fall other than the flu vaccine.
So as we talk about that, that's kind of something we know that if we have the virus and we're actively showing symptoms, we're usually shedding that virus to those around us more so during those periods. So that brings me to the next one, which we're all kind of a little bit tired of talking about because of the last few years, and we wish it would just go away, but unfortunately it's here. We've had patients that are showing up COVID positive. We have people in our community that are testing positive for COVID. So there is a vaccine. It's changed a little bit over time. That's available now as well. What can you just walk us through what the current landscape it looks like for the COVID vaccine?
Just recently, in early September, the three major companies who manufactured the COVID vaccine that we had last year have been authorized now to manufacture what we deem to be the circulating variants for this fall. So once again, let's just back up and talk about COVID a second here. So the original COVID virus that affected the U.S. has died out. That variant has changed into several other variants, which, as you remember, we were kind of talking about the bivalent COVID vaccine, which carried within it the two variants to immunize with. And now that has died out, but yet before it died out, it modified again. And so now we have as many as 20 variants out there. So when we look at these 20 variants out there, we look at, well, some of them are pretty minimum, and others may be 20-25% that's out there. So they've looked at it, and similar to flu, they've looked back now at the spring at what was going on and what has been going on this summer. So they have now come up with a variant that's in the COVID vaccine that will provide immunity that they believe that will cover most of what's going on through our season. And when we talk about through our season, we're actually talking about we're moving out of summer, we're moving into that fall, winter, when it gets chillier, you get chilled. The COVID vaccine is here. Number of the pharmacies in town as well as the hospital will have the vaccine available for immunizing. That vaccine can be given at the same time as flu. There's actually no restrictions on that. It's basically the same vaccine from age 6 months and older, so there's no change on that. But from what I'm reading out of the CDC, they seem to think that this would be a good coverage, once again, for those individuals who have a long-standing upper respiratory conditions. They have long-standing blood pressure, heart conditions, as well as those people with kidney issues. And then for the rest of us who probably don't have those issues, it's recommended in getting the COVID vaccine so we aren't passing COVID illness on to those people who have those chronic conditions. COVID is not as severe as originally when it started happening back in 2020. Those really deadly type viruses have died off, and yes, we have maybe a more milder virus. So maybe to you and me, it seems like a mild infection. We don't have very many symptoms, but if we pass it on to somebody who actually has long-standing lung issues, it now turns into a serious situation. So now we're treating somebody that we have to give them oxygen, we have to put them on steroids, we have to do a number of things to get them over the hump.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So with the COVID vaccine and the COVID virus, and you're talking about not sharing that and trying to avoid, you know, sharing that with others, and that's why we would become vaccinated. There's kind of a new vaccine on the scene, and maybe not necessarily new, but newly recommended, because we have been seeing older adults with RSV in the recent history, I guess, yes. Probably more so than we had seen before. So when I hear RSV, I think that's a kid disease, right? That's what the babies get. There's a certain age of us that probably fall in the middle there that are not as susceptible to RSV, or that we aren't seeing the increased symptoms from RSV. But you talk about the older adults or those that do have those respiratory issues and maybe some chronic issues. What about the RSV vaccine? What is it? Tell us a little bit about that, if you would, Earl.
It's interesting how this came about. Historically, we were never testing for RSV in adults. But as we came through COVID and we had patients coming in who had COVID-like symptoms, but they tested negative for COVID, the doctors started testing them for RSV and concluded that actually they were coming down with RSV. And likelihood that if you are a person who spends a lot of time with younger kids, and you know kids going to school, picking up whatever is happening there, or kids in daycare, in and out of daycare, where kids kind of touch everything and they kind of pass everything amongst them. We used to kid ourselves many years ago that maybe when someone got ill, they were just coming down with what we call daycare syndrome. But now we're actually putting a name on it that actually they were probably coming down with RSV. Your immunity is pretty strong as a young adult, that this shouldn't be that difficult for you to get along with if you had come down with RSV. But the RSV vaccine that they developed is actually looking at those older individuals age 60 and older, who once again their immunity is not at what it should be. And so now they have received authorization latter part of the summer. The two companies being Pfizer and GlaxoSmithKline have each put out a product that's available for those individuals who are 60 and older to vaccinate for RSV in the same manner that we would have vaccinated kids for RSV. I know historically we've had a couple of vaccines that we treat real young toddlers from newborn up to 24 months for RSV. They're also talking about a vaccine that's going to come out here later on for vaccinating mothers so that they can transfer her immunity to her infant child to cover them in that first year. And RSV is basically, once again, another respiratory type product where you just become overcome. And once again, we're treating them with oxygen, steroids to bring down that inflammation, control the cough type situation. And it's just kind of a difficult illness if you have long-standing medical issues, once again, in that respiratory lung area.
Yeah, that's interesting to me that, you know, perhaps we've had adults suffering from RSV just as much in the past. We just weren't testing for it. And didn't know that that's what it was. And now, you know, potentially a vaccine that can help them avoid that or avoid the symptoms from that. So One last vaccine that we'll chat about briefly here is, you know, those that, again, in that older population, you know, the vaccines that cover certain strains of that pneumonia. So the pneumococcal vaccines, that's something that we've heard in the last, I don't know how many years, it seems like maybe in the last 5 or so years that's been recommended for older adults as well.
So if you have any knowledge of your child's immunization record, you'll see that maybe from the time that they were maybe 6 months to 5 years that they've received a series of a product called Prevnar 13, which is actually a pneumococcal vaccine. So pneumococcal vaccines are specifically looking at strep. We hear about people who come down with strep throat. So this is a strep pneumonia type bacteria. Now this is bacteria, it's not a virus. We just were talking about viruses, now we're talking about a bacteria. But we have this group of individuals that when they get strep, we hear about strep throat, that it immediately, when they get the strep throat, it seems to drop into the lungs and now we got a strep pneumonia going mm-hmm. on. Of the strep pneumonia, there are actually like 23 different types of strep pneumonia. And some of the earlier vaccines, some of the original vaccines that were developed didn't include all the different 23 types. We may have had one that was just had 7 serial types. And when we had the one that had 13 serial types, and we have had another one that had maybe 15 serial types. Well, just recently there's been two products that are available out on the market for, once again, people with upper respiratory conditions where either you're below 65 or above 65. I know that for people with chronic respiratory illnesses, such as those COPDers or somebody with emphysema, where we wanted to cover them, prevent them from getting that type of pneumonia, we would have given them maybe a 13, or maybe we gave them a 23 or 15. And now what's available is that once they turn 65, we can do this one and done thing where we actually give them a product that's called Prevnar 20, which has essentially 20 of the different serial types in it, so that you develop your immunity against those and prevent you from coming down with this strep pneumonia, which once again, I said, is nothing more than having a serious strep throat that's now dropped into the lungs, and now you have this lung pneumonia going on, and which is treatable by antibiotics and a number of things, but once again, the whole process is to keep you out of the hospital.
Sure. And so if there's somebody, you know, listening that they've had this, you know, maybe they've had the Prevnar, they shouldn't need to do that again.
That's like a one and done, that should cover you. And there's really, this wouldn't be an annual thing, it's just a one and done thing.
Sure. And I think I failed to ask you when we were talking about the RSV vaccine, that is not necessarily annually.
Every other year.
Okay. So when I look at this, there's a smorgasbord of vaccines out here that we could potentially get that can protect us from becoming ill or having severe illnesses here. If I'm an adult who's, let's say, 65, because then I'd qualify for all of these, and I've had this question and have had zero knowledge or thought on how to answer it, what order should I get these in? What is most important? You know, should I get them all at the same time? Should I space them out a little bit? We've also chatted about the shingles vaccine, and you know, there's a few others out there as well that could be in the mix. But if I'm looking at these four specifically, and maybe I'm 65 and older, let's say, how should I do this? What's a potential course of action?
If I was looking as a potential course of action, we have to focus on the flu vaccine and the COVID vaccine, because these two viruses mutate and change each year. So every fall, we're going to have a little bit different vaccine being offered. So for sure, you'd have to look at, and both of these two vaccines can be given at the same time. They can either be given in the same arm, or they can be given in opposite arms if you want to keep track of, did I react to that or did I not? If historically you have received flu vaccine without any issues, and historically you have received COVID vaccine without any issues, and obviously you can get them in the same arm. If you are a senior and you're busy taking care of children and grandchildren, then you may want to also consider the RSV vaccine. And so that was being, so there again, we're talking about another virus. However, this vaccine you could do every other year. You could also get it at the same time as you got your flu and your COVID. You could get it in the other arm, because this would be new for you. So you'd see how that would work for you. As for as I said, we like to see your body start gearing up and making antibodies. And sometimes it's nice to something new to be in an arm by itself, so you can kind of keep track. Do I have side effects from that I don't want to get it in another year, or is that working well? And the other thing that I would say about getting these vaccines is get it plenty ahead of any social event that you are planning, because obviously when your body starts kicking in and making antibodies, you're going to feel like you're a little bit run down. You're going to feel like maybe you've got the flu, even though you don't have the flu. But those are things you need to take in consideration.
Yeah. Don't go get it before the big event, right?
Yes.
Or the day before.
Right. And so then after that, then you can decide whether or not you want to update. And that's what I'm going to refer to it as, an update your pneumococcal vaccine. And if you haven't done the shingles vaccine yet and you're thinking about that, but obviously these last two vaccines can be done at any time, whereas I'm more likely these first three viral situations are kind of going to be a fall moving in the winter type thing, where people are kind of indoors with each other, so they're going to take a little bit more priority.
Sure. Okay. Well, it's been really enlightening, lots of information. If I listened and I'm still a little bit fuzzy or I don't know what's right for me, the best case is to reach out to my provider, correct?
Right. Reach out to your provider, reach out to your local pharmacist. I believe most of the pharmacies in town are doing the flu, the COVID, the RSV, pneumococcal, and your shingles
as well. Okay. All right. So here at HRMC, if somebody wanted to reach out, they could call the HRMC Physicians Clinic.
Yep.
At 605-353-7660. Or certainly ask any of your local pharmacists in town that are very knowledgeable about these. Earl, we appreciate the information. I feel much more well-versed in that I could maybe answer some questions when people ask me now. So appreciate your time today.
Thanks for listening to the Well One Connection. This podcast is informational only and not intended to replace the advice of your healthcare provider. Huron Regional Medical Center, online at huronregional.org.